have last week off from Trans-Tasman Gibberish, I think we might have.
Yeah, we did.
And why was that? I can't even remember. You were away.
I was away.
You were away.
We just couldn't fit it in.
Just couldn't fit it in.
Just couldn't fit it in.
It was like an oversized appendage. Just couldn't fit it in.
I wish I knew what that
I saw an interesting... I saw just on that, little segue before we get started, and I said we wanted to make this shorter than normal, but of course I'm dribbling in minute one. Saw an interview on a UK morning show about a guy who has the biggest penis in Britain.
Fucking
it is
hell.
Over 12 inches when erect. And he looks like just your bog-standard bloke, bit overweight, not attractive. And he goes, it's a real curse to have a dick that big. And he was interviewed by a man and a woman, and the woman was quite attractive. And all I could think about, what is she thinking of here? She's thinking, let's call time and let me just have a little look at this thing, give it a bit of a run.
Absolutely.
I think too big's too big.
Absolutely.
All I'm thinking is that, like, there's more than half of that that's wasted. He's going to get a chill on half of his dick. Only half of it's going in.
Just the tip.
Well, just the tip of his could split most people in half.
It's like a warhead.
Yeah.
It's not a normal head.
Oh, anyway.
A nuclear warhead.
Good start. Quality start. Our 5 listeners will appreciate that. Mate, have you watched Baby Reindeer on Netflix?
Look, it seems to be the darling of the watching.
Have you watched it? Okay, it's
no,
very
I haven't
bleak.
Got there yet.
I'm not sure if I'm enjoying it.
Oh.
And I just watched episode 4, which confirmed that I'm not sure if I'm enjoying it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Did you see that one called, it's about a stalker? And I watched one or two episodes and I was like, this is too intense. And then he puts her in a cage downstairs from the bookstore. What's that one called? Alone? No. Okay, I mean, that was hardcore, man.
Yeah.
That was hardcore. I didn't like it. I like Bleak, though. But I'm watching... I've finished Dune 2.
What do you think?
Fucking good movie,
mate. Yeah, good movie. Enjoyed it.
It was better than Dune 1, I thought.
Well, there's more action in this one, I think.
Yeah.
There's a bit more action.
Yeah. Dune 2's good, mate. I really enjoyed it.
My favourite part? Is at the end. I'm going to spoil this. Anyone that hasn't seen Dune 2, just la 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 for about 10 seconds. At the end, when Paul Atreides says to Zendaya, I will love you forever, and then walks over and says, I'm now going to marry you.
Oh, fuck, I know. Talk
How
about
brutal
a burn.
Is that?
That's a burn.
How brutal is that?
Well, you know, he's got to do it, mate. He has to do it for the good of the
fucking...
I'd take
Zendaya over her every day of the week.
Oh, so would I.
I'm not
both.
A big Florence Pugh fan, to be honest.
I'll take both.
I know you would, but, you know, I can pick and choose my women.
Of course you can. Of course you can. With a face like that. And a dick as big as... nearly as big as the biggest guys in England.
Yeah, well, you know, I can just pick and choose.
Oh, fucking hell. Hey, I
just
had
like
homework.
That.
Oh, yeah, they're running. Fuck, I can hear the knocking on the door.
That's it. Stay away. Give me 30 minutes.
They've just
then
come
I'll
out
give
of
you
that.
Three.
They've just come out of the man-made lake, which is down the road from your house.
That's it. They're covered in slime. They got gills.
The swamp women.
The swamp women.
You should see. Oh, fuck. It ducked my headache's
getting
worse.
You said you had homework.
I had homework, yeah. I was going to look at a new TV, remember?
You did? How'd you go?
Well, Tash and I went and looked at new TVs, and we went, what a waste of money. So we decided to...
How did I know that was going to happen?
Fucking
How did
funny.
I know that was going to happen? What is a new TV going to cost you in New Zealand?
Well, for an... Oh, fuck, I don't know. I looked at the Samsungs, those 80s.
Yes.
Their last years, I think. Yeah. Which is fine. I mean, well, fine. We're looking at 65-inch, nearly as big as the blokes in England. And it was going to be about 1,700
okay.
New Zealand dollars, which
That's
isn't
not
too
bad.
Bad.
That's not
Don't
too
get me
bad.
Wrong. It's not bad. But we were like...
It's just a timer.
No, but even... I was the
Adam,
one pushing
Adam,
it, mate.
Adam.
I was the one
Adam,
pushing it.
Adam. Yeah. At the end of the day...
Matthew.
You're just a tight ass.
I am. I know I'm a tight ass.
Just buy the fucking television. You complain that you couldn't see. I showed you Sharon Stone's labia minora. I showed it to you, and you'd never seen it before.
No.
Because but of the state of the television.
No, but you did show it to me on the computer, so I'll just watch it on the computer.
You watch a lot of TV, mate. You watch a lot of TV.
We've decided that if we buy a house over here, we're going to get a new TV.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Because the
reason
is...
How many more parameters? Well, we're going to decide when it doesn't rain 64% of the time in Auckland that we're going to buy a television.
Oh, I'll never buy a television.
Exactly then. Right. You're putting these parameters on yourself.
No. Then the reason I'm saying it is because if we get a house and there's room for an 85 fucking inch, I'm buying it.
Well, then you buy an 85 then.
No, but then
I'll
already
spend 75 somewhere else.
Nah, it's not going to work, mate.
Mate, I can hear the puckering anus from the Gold Coast.
Well, it's now puckering now, seeing that face.
Oh, God.
What a waste of money. All right.
What have you got? What exciting news stories have you got?
What have I got? I've got a fantastic... My daughter rang from Antibes today in south of France.
Yes.
And said, I got a job. We're like, yeah, she's got a job on a super yacht. She's flying to Tahiti to pick it up.
Wow.
And she's going to be based out of Sydney.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So she's all the way in Antibes looking for a job in the Med and has now got one on a boat which is in Tahiti at the moment. So there you go. Well played.
Yeah.
She's had a good time, though, apparently.
She has.
With a bunch of Kiwis and went to the Waka Bar and got on the puss. She's going to be very close to us now instead of at the other side of the world. So nice. That's some news. That's some good news.
That's exciting.
Anyway, very exciting. Right. here we go. Right. Let me start. Now, this is not stuff.com. There's no evidence that three strikes reduces crime. This is RNZ, which is Radio New Zealand. Now, as you know, and everyone knows you love politics, especially New Zealand politics, and the National and Act / whatever the fuck they're called, first whatever's, are flexing their right-wing muscles at the moment. Their right-wing muscles. Do you like that? I should be like on one of those shows on TV, shouldn't I? Anyway, again, we need to film this because your face, mate, that's going to get more laughs than what anything we say.
If I nod up, if I nod off, just like scream something.
Well, I did mention they're putting pseudoephedrine drugs back on the chemist shelves, which is great.
If I nod off, just scream homework and then I'll wake up and be appalled
again. Okay, all right. Okay, I'll make this one quick then, but... They're now, I've talked about they're bringing back the gang, banning gang patches and where that'll lead to, can you wear a Bulldogs jersey down the road because it's so fucking bad. Oh, God, he's gone already. This one is around, what are you doing?
Just closing the door.
All right, okay. This one is, they're now thinking about bringing the three strikes you're out justice system back in place, which doesn't fucking work. So, let me read.
Explain.
The government's plan to reintroduce the three strikes regime is strongly opposed by lawyers who argue there is no evidence it actually reduces crime or helps people rehabilitate. The three-stage system of... This was brought in California years ago, right? Years ago, and it didn't work. The three-stage system of increasing consequences for repeat serious violent offenders... Now, serious violent offenders is the key here, right? Was repealed by the former Labor government, but the current coalition government has announced will be restored. The government said the new policy would apply only to sentences of at least 2 years, giving judges more discretion. Now, the whole point of this is they saying this becomes a racist thing because it disproportionately is against Maori, Pacific Islander, and poorer communities. And again, I think, but you know...
But isn't it against criminals?
Well, it is against criminals, but again, I think we've talked about this before. We should be aiming at trying to cure the actual issues, not just chuck people in jail for the fucking sake of it. You know what I mean? They're really what they're trying to do here really is stop the gangs over here. Because I know they had gang issues for ages in Australia, and WA had really strict gang laws. I think Queensland does as well.
Yeah, there's no bikies. There's no bikies. They got kicked out of Queensland.
I actually got kicked out of Queensland.
Yeah, you're not allowed to wear patches. You're not allowed to wear anything in Queensland anymore.
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying here. You can't wear patches. Yep. They're trying to bring that into New Zealand.
Yeah.
Look, it's an interesting one because it's the first step to banning all sorts of stuff in my book. And there are good and there are bad gangs as well. Like, they've got those Christian fucking black power gangs who are, you know, trying to help instead of being the other way around, especially the ones that have left. But, you know, I just think we're getting... Again, we're just trying to put a Band-Aid on the issues rather than try and attack the issues, which is poorer communities, right? And whether it's Maori, Pacifica, Chinese, Indian, whatever it is...
Okay, so there's obviously a direct correlation between economic stability and crime.
Absolutely.
Right, so you don't find... and okay, that's not true either. Because there's plenty of rich people that have murdered people, right?
Well, yeah.
Plenty of rich people. It's just different crime. If we talk about gang crime, if we talk about sort of petty crime, we talk about assaults and all that kind of stuff, it is generally lower socioeconomic, right? So how do we... The problem is, for some reason, they think it's easier just to put someone in jail for $100,000 a year than to feed that money somewhere else.
100%, and I did the sums on this. Hang on, where's my... there's my calculator. I did the sums. So, $190,000 a year it is to house a prisoner, right?
Yeah.
Times that by... There's only 9,500 incarcerated. That is $1.8 billion a year.
Yeah.
Spent just on each... Sorry, on the whole of the... On the people within the prisons, not up keeping the prisons and all that.
That's in New Zealand.
Feeding them.
That's in New Zealand. Yeah,
1.8 billion New Zealand dollars.
Yeah.
That's outrageous, mate. That's outrageous.
What could they do with half of that?
Yeah, I know.
In regards to building better communities. Problem is, it's obviously it's systemic, right? And it's something that seems to be bred into people because it's such a hard cycle to break. So maybe they think that how long is it going to take to break the cycle? It's going to take 20 years to break the cycle. That's just a waste of time.
Well, especially when they're only in government for 3 years.
So this is the issue, right? So the issue with government and politics in general is nothing is about planting the tree for other people to have the shade. Everything is about ultimately now and surviving my ass.
That was so wise. Say that again, please.
Well, you should be planting trees.
Yep.
Not for you. For shade for other people, for the future generations,
mate.
Right?
Well, that's what the Chinese do so well.
Yeah, they also take a heap of steroids. But anyway, we'll move on to that later. But
that's you don't want to be under a totalitarian fucking regime, right? But I just don't know why they can't all get in a room and sort it out. Just sort everything out.
I had a discussion with a guy the other night. I was at an event for a client of mine, and we were talking about the housing crisis in Australia. And last month, Australia allowed in 123,000 immigrants into Australia.
There's your answer.
And there's the housing crisis, right? Now, apparently, one of the prerequisites to becoming an immigrant in Australia and getting residency or whatever is that we'll let you in, but you've got to vote Labor the next election. How's that sound?
No, I don't reckon that's right.
Mate, had it from good authority from someone who is in politics in Brisbane.
Well, that's what they were saying, why the Democrats won in America.
Yeah. So I just think that the issue is no one stands there and says, fuck, that's a good idea. It's only a good idea if they think of it and it benefits themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why politics is never going to work. And you know what? I'm not saying that communism is right because it's not, right? But that ethos was what they thought was for the benefit of the country as a whole. Right? Yeah. Capitalism, which is amazing and I wouldn't want anything else, right?
Yeah.
But at some stage, can we not just think about what benefits us personally and actually think about, like, you're about to have an 18-year-old son and you've got a 21-year-old daughter. like, they're fucked.
Yeah. Oh, that's banker mum and dad.
No, it, absolutely. And because they're fucked, we're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, yep. It's, you know, I think we are the last generation of financial freedom to some extent.
Gen X. Yeah, look, it's an interesting one. And you mentioned communism there. I'm watching this Netflix series called Turning Point, The Bomb and the Cold War.
Yeah.
It's fucking... It is... Listeners out there, if you ever want a history lesson of most recent kind of 150 years, get into it. It's actually fucking interesting. I've learned so much. I'm only up to episode 4, I think, and there's 8. Mm. And there's so much, especially around conspiracy and the Americans fucking over democratically elected... you know, countries like Guatemala, because they wanted to take some land off the fucking fruit company who owned everything, you know, American, etc. But I won't, no spoilers here for a documentary. But even the Bolsheviks, who took over the Tsars in the civil war in Russia in early 1900s, I think they had a pure idea of trying to give everyone a fair go, right? And they put it under the guise of communism / Marxism, whatever you want to call it. And basically people are just people, right? People are fucking greedy deep down, and people that rise to the top are usually narcissists. And that's what happened with Stalin. Stalin was the worst people think Hitler was the worst dictator. Stalin killed 30 million of his own people.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't think there's a perfect political system. If there was, it was probably when they were smaller communities and had a group of elders who made decisions, you know what I mean? And it wasn't just one person who made the decision.
The problem is that history will show that anyone that has wanted to change the status quo and change the way we do things has been killed.
Well, JFK was one of
them. Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, all these guys, they were just assassinated. Mate, Abraham Lincoln was tried to be assassinated. All these people that have wanted to change the way we do stuff historically has been silenced or killed, bottom line, because it doesn't suit the narrative or it doesn't suit the people that are in power.
Mm.
Simple as that. Mm.
And basically the war complex they talk about, that's the big one.
The war machine.
Yeah.
The reason JFK gets killed is because he wants to stop, he doesn't want Vietnam to go on.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And he wants peace with Russia. He was aiming to get peace with Russia.
Correct. And so it's always about making money.
Yep.
There's, you know, I think Donald Sutherland says it in JFK that the number one, I think he says something like the number one thing that governments are looking for is war, because that creates economy.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's as simple as that. So it's, you know, and mate, it's, you know what? It has continued that way, right? You know? WMDs, the war with Iraq, all this stuff is all about economies.
Yeah,
well, it's got nothing to do with saving people.
People are so surprised by the Gaza war here, and I'm going, but there's been wars going on ever since you've been alive. You just haven't been watching them, giving a shit. No, no one gives a shit about the Ukraine war now. No one cares.
No, we've moved on from that. There's now another war since bizarre. That. Now there's another war since the Gaza war.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, fuck. It's always going to happen. Mm. Anyway, I got one.
There you go.
Huh. We get preachy, but anyway. This one is the robots are coming.
We just tell the truth. Oh, the robots are coming.
The robots are coming.
Is that in a sexual way or just they are about to arrive?
I told you I didn't have any sexual things this week. Oh,
damn.
No, keep your dick in your pants.
I miss sexy whitey.
A major fast food chain has replaced drive-through workers with artificial intelligence software, and a video of a customer's encounter with the new tech has gone viral. So Wendy's in the States has replaced their human drive-through attendants with AI. Right.
Yep.
And then it took 30 seconds for the person to place the order. It was perfect. Everything came through perfect.
Mm.
This software is coming to Australia this year within the next 12 months. And they're now concerned that there's going to be hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people which will lose their jobs. Let me just give you a little heads up here, people. It's not going to end with drive-through attendance.
No.
Okay?
No.
So the world is changing. and it's going to get probably a little bit worse before it gets a little bit better.
Yes.
But no, AI is here.
Yeah. Yep.
James Cameron talked about it in The Terminator and in The Terminator 2. This is going to be very real, very soon.
Mm. Absolutely. So real. And again, I feel sorry for our kids because they're going to be in a world where they've got to do something completely. Their job that is in 10 years' time is not even invented yet, right?
Mate, if I'm giving any advice to my children, it's get involved with AI.
Learn AI. It's funny though, you know the Woolworths or the Countdown, you know, you got your self-serve areas now? Yeah. They've still got two or three people fucking.
No, and look, I have a marketing agency, so I use AI quite a bit in some of my applications.
Yeah.
And it still needs a hell of a lot of human prodding to get it right. Yeah. Like, you can get by just by saying, write me this, but it really takes a really quality input to get any quality output. And I think I don't think at this stage that any computer is going to be able to replicate the human interaction. But at the end of the day, they don't give a fuck. Wendy's doesn't care.
Nope.
That drive-through or that store has just saved itself whatever it costs to put the AI in 10 times over in a year.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's all about the cost, right?
And this is the other thing is that, you know, I had a meeting with actually a client of mine that's starting a podcast with me. We recorded our first podcast this week. Really exciting.
Did it work?
It did work. The podcast is called Margin Maximizers, and they're two girls. Finance. One is a CFO with decades of experience dealing in companies that turn over between $10 to $80 million a year.
Okay.
And another one is a girl who is a bookkeeper, and she's got her own business as well, and she sort of their point of difference is they're looking at companies and their financial structures, but from an operational perspective, right? So not just from we'll come in and say, well, you need to cut $1 million, so let's just cut wages. Mm. So let's look at your operations and see what you're doing and see where we can save money and see what we can do better, right?
Yep.
And actually talk about increasing margins, right? Hence the name Margin Maximizers. It was really interesting to hear them say that because, you know, the easy thing is just to come in and go, well, we're just going to cut 30 people.
Yeah.
Right. But actually then to look at the business and go, I saw this thing last week about a guy in America. The five heads of department were given, they had to cut $2 million out of their budgets for the year, which was $10 million. They had to find $10 million. And four managers went in and just said, okay, we're going to cut 10 people. That's it. We're just going to cut wages. And this guy actually went and did a real sort of investigation into the company and that. Found that with phone lines, fax lines, internet connections, subscriptions, $2.4 million a month that they were spending on stuff they weren't using. So he saved the company two times what they wanted to save. And didn't sack a person.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Yeah, different way of looking at it, right?
Different way of looking at it. So I think that, you know, if you give a computer a job, it's going to do the job.
Yeah. I was reading somewhere, there was I'm going to get this wrong, but I think it was like KFC were trying to sell this burger. And
sold.
Yeah, I know, same. I'm buying it. Yeah. And it wasn't moving. It was like, let's just say it was $10, right? And this consultant came in and goes, why are you selling it for $10? Why don't you sell it for $15? He goes, what do you mean? He said, well, most people go to KFC for a treat. So they're probably prepared to pay an extra $5 if they think it's a good burger.
Yeah.
And they did that and they made a fucking shitload of money because I actually started selling it because people thought, oh, shit, this must be a good burger. It's $15. So it's interesting. You've got to sometimes get into the psychology of it all as well and go, well, what's motivating people to buy? People just don't buy just because it's cheap all the time. They don't.
Yeah.
If I'm buying a TV, I'm not going to buy it because it's cheap.
You're not going to buy it.
I'm not going to buy it.
Let's be fucking honest. You're not going to buy it. All right. That is the shittest example.
Did you like that?
We've never edited anything in this podcast until today.
that's brilliant.
Fuck, if I'm going to buy a TV on your Pinocchio.
Let me put something. If I'm going to buy a pack of chips, right, I buy
spicy ramen
quality.
Twisties are out.
They're out?
Yeah.
Where are they?
I'll go buy a couple packets today for you.
All right, send them over. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Today. What's the date? Oh, late April.
I saw them in the shop coming yesterday. Early. I was like, fuck, I've got to get them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then and then once we've got them, we'll both try them live on air.
On the show.
What were we talking about? I can't remember now.
You're going to buy a pack of chips as a treat.
Yeah, I'll pay extra for it.
Yeah.
I'll pay an extra 5 cents, 10 cents for a good pack of chips.
Would you pay $15 for a KFC burger, though?
Yeah, probably. Well, it depends.
Depends on what the burger is.
Yeah, yeah. It depends what the burger is, yeah. If it was like a Baconator with 10 pounds of bacon on it, absolutely.
God.
Oh,
glorious.
Bring it on. While we're talking about like foodie stuff, I've got one here.
Yeah.
Belgian... Hang on. Fuck off. Block. No. Allow. This is stuff.cock. Belgian man whose body makes its own alcohol found not guilty of drunk driving. Belgian brewery worker has been found not guilty of drunk driving due to a rare condition where his body produces alcohol. Bullshit.
I'll tell you what, he's got a good fucking lawyer.
Oh, mate. The man has what is known as auto-brewery syndrome.
Get fucked.
A condition which can develop in people with other intestine-related conditions.
He's just drinking so much piss that he's starting to sweat it.
As reported by The Guardian, reading out the verdict, the judge said the man did not experience symptoms of intoxication when caught. Ah, far out. I call bullshit on this story. I call absolute bullshit. What court is believing that?
What country is it again?
Belgium. They're pissheads in Belgium.
Well, there you go. Mools and frites. Mools and frites.
Manica piss.
Mools and frites.
They've got that Creek beer, which is cherry-flavoured 10%er. And have you been to Belgium?
Yeah.
No, it's a good place.
It's a good place.
Yeah, good place.
What are they called? Flemish? Is that what they're called?
Flemish, yeah. They speak French, Flemish, and...
Are they called Flemish, German. Or is it they called Belgians?
They're called Belgians.
Belgians. Belgians. yeah. Knew a couple Belgian people. My parents live with, in Singapore, lived in a 40s-plus Melrose place of expats.
Brilliant.
And they just got on the piss 7 nights a week. And there was a Belgian guy there, Arno was his name. And his party trick was they'd just get fucking blind. And then he'd try and push people in the pool. And he...
Party trick.
Yeah, exactly. He's a real funny cunt, right? He was a real funny cunt. He tried to have a go at me. And I literally picked him up over my head. And just slammed him in the water. And I said, fuck off back to Belgium, mate.
Did everyone else
Everyone
laugh?
Was pissing themselves. His wife was treeing. mad pissheads. Mad pissheads.
Oh, fucking Belgians.
Yeah, I know.
It's a good place. Yeah. I've been to Bruges. I got in a fight in Bruges.
Good movie in Bruges.
I watched that recently. It was good. It was
great
really
movie.
Good.
Really good movie. Yeah.
What's the main guy, the very good. Irish comedian? What's his name?
Brendan Gleeson,
that's it, yeah. He's very good.
Yeah.
Very good. There you go. That was
it's such an awesome movie.
Yeah. What's the other guy? Colin Farrell.
That's Colin it. Farrell?
Fuck, thank God I got that right.
Wow. We're on fire. Okay. Obviously, yesterday was Anzac Day.
It was,
25th of April was Anzac Day. Is it a public holiday in New Zealand?
Come on, mate. Seriously. What does Anzac Day mean?
I know it's Australia, New Zealand Army Corps. I know
yes,
what it means.
Of course we have a fucking day off.
I just want to check, all right?
You fucking dumb cunt.
Okay, just checking, mate. So we... I want to take umbrage a little bit with Anzac Day.
And oh, okay.
Not because of the reason we have it, because I'm 100% and in full support of Anzac Day.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
But I just want to take umbrage with... It now just seems to be another day to get on the piss. and make it's always been another day to get on the piss. Fuckwit of yourself.
It's always been like that.
And I'm going to explain this in that a schoolboy was interviewed on fucking one of the project, and he was young. He was like 7 or 8.
And he was hammered?
No, no, no. It said a young. It says schoolboy's answer to Anzac Day interview has the project panel in stitches. Young boy left the panel of the project in fits of laughter after answering a question with brutal honesty. Now, the panel is a shit show and I would never watch it. But a schoolboy has left a panel of TV hosts in hysterics after answering a question about Anzac Day the Anzac Day parade with brutal honesty. Obviously, thousands of Australians take part in the marches and to honour the fucking military and all the shit that they've done for us over time. And really, yeah, the Brisbane schoolboy was wearing the World War I military medals of his great-grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
When he was asked why he took part in the city's march, the boy didn't seem particularly enthusiastic and answered, "To march."
Right.
However, when he asked to elaborate, he confessed it was because my parents are making me do it.
Okay.
The reporter tried to help the boy out and asked, "You're not doing it to remember your great-grandfather and what he did in the war? The boy again delivered the truth, "No." Right. I've got an issue with this. I've got a massive issue with this. Because even if you're going to wear the medals of your great-grandfather that fought in World War I, which was the cunt of all wars, the worst one, not called the Great War for no reason.
Yeah.
Right? And really, it's the war where the Australians had the most impact globally, right?
Yeah.
For him to be, and I get he's like 8 or 9, but you should be teaching that child why he's doing this.
Yeah.
Right? He should be educated as to why he's doing this.
100% he should be. 100%.
And so my issue is not with the kid. My issue is that I think that we are missing the point of what this day is about. And we're not educating our children why Anzac Day exists. Because really, all it is when they get to 18, it's just another excuse to go to the pub at fucking start singing piss at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Playing two up.
Playing two up.
Mate, I agree. I mean, it's not hard about what it's about. I mean, this again, you know, the parents should be educating their kids. It's not up to... They'll probably want to outsource it to a school or something to educate them about what Anzac Day is about. But it's a especially if you've got the medals, that's a deeply personal connection to the war,
exactly
right?
Exactly right.
And look... And I mean, was the 8 or 9-year-old just being a smartass because they're 8 or 9? I don't know. But
maybe so. But again, still, should be educated to the importance. Should know,
yeah,
not to be a smartass about this.
I agree.
And so for me, like I don't actually. And look, it's a bit little it's a little hypocritical because, look, from the years of my ages of 17 to 35. I was probably at the club every Anzac Day getting absolutely trolleyed and playing two up, right?
Yeah, and watching the footy.
Yeah, and so, but probably, really, the only time I've been to any club for Anzac Day was when you and I and Gow went to Burley Bears fucking 8 years ago or whatever, 7 years ago.
Yep.
I guess I've got a different perspective on it now, whereas it's like I'm not so much about getting on the piss because I don't think that's really... I don't know. I'm a bit conflicted about it now.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, look, I always think, what would the diggers want? What would the diggers want you to do on the day? And they're all pretty fucking larrikinish, right?
Well, mate, they're all fucking 16.
Yeah, some of them were 14.
Yeah.
I saw.
Yeah,
some of them were 14. But then if you go up the ages, they were larrikins. You know, the hijinks they got up to in Egypt and
I've seen Gallipoli.
Yeah, the amount of people got sent home with fucking gonorrhea on their fucking wieners. Look, I'm not a person who... We were going to go to the Grey Hill in RSA, because I'm a member there anyway, which is about a 20-minute drive from us. It's where my cousin, near where my cousin lives. And then in the end, we were so fucking exhausted, and Tasha's a bit crook anyway. We just went, we were going to go down to Devonport and go to that's where the Navy is here.
Yeah.
And we were like, fuck, we just need to sit down on the couch for a fucking...
Yeah,
for a few hours, we saw it. And don't get me wrong, we still watched the Sydney and the Auckland one on TV. You know, we watched it all and all that because we still really like that side of it and think you should remember. But at the same token, just in our life now, we were like, oh, I just need to stop. I just need to stop and have a rest. So we just stayed at home. We just stayed at home the whole day. Now, I said to Tash when we were watching it, I said to her, are there any wars that we respect that happened in 1850? She goes, no. So are there any wars that anyone respects in any country that happened in 1433? And she went, nah. I said, well, in 300 years' time, I reckon no one will remember this.
You reckon?
And she said, maybe. She didn't want to, don't think she agreed with me, but I'm just saying the passage of time makes people forget shit and other things become more important.
But then that's, but I also just think
it's great for now.
I think that is our job to ensure that we don't forget.
Yeah, but we're going to, mate. We're going to. Do you know who your great-great-great-grandfather was out of England?
But in saying that, like, my family's fucked. Like, I don't know any of my family. Like, I know my...
I'm just saying as a society, we just forget this shit over time because other things become more important.
Okay, then do you think that... Do you think the US will ever forget 9/11?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. 100%. Do you think the Greeks remember the Trojan War when they...
But we still talk about it.
The passage of time, I think, erodes that. Yeah, but we don't have a special day commemorating people who died.
We don't. Right?
No. So we'll remember shit, and then it'll change. And don't get me wrong, I love it. I was going to call Max Anzac, Zach for short, because that's how much I respect the day. And for me now, it's very important. But I just think in 300 years' time, no one's going to give a flying toss, to be honest.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yep.
But for now, it's great. I love it. And I didn't get pissed.
All right. Time for one more each. Yep.
One more each? Oh, which one? Do I do Arj Barker ejecting a mum?
Please do that. Yep, please do
it. You saw that one? Arj Barker's ejection of a mum and baby from comedy show puts gig etiquette in focus. Arj Barker, yeah, I agree, said he asked the breastfeeding mum to leave his show as a baby was crying. Baby crying was ruining his train of thought. He said, on behalf of the 700 people who paid to see it, I politely told her the baby couldn't stay. And look, I love Arj Barker, so I'm a bit biased.
No, you don't. I've seen him live. I think he's amazing. He's in Flight of the Conchords. Great. He's incredible. He is so 100% right here. It's a 15-plus show.
I know.
What the fuck are you doing bringing a newborn breastfeeding baby to a comedy show? You are a disgrace, woman.
Couldn't agree more.
Fuck off.
But you know what? If nothing happened, if the baby hadn't cried, no one would have given a shit, right?
That's no exactly true. And the thing is, he didn't know it was she was breastfeeding it because he couldn't see. He just heard the baby crying.
No, that's right.
And you know what? And then she goes on fucking television? Why is this even a thing? Why, as a fucking society, are we even entertaining this?
Yeah, do you know what, though? I don't even like heckling at shows unless the comedian wants to do that, interact with the crowd that way. If someone wants to just go out and do jokes, I don't think you should heckle. Be respectful.
I get that you are breastfeeding, your child is breastfeeding, so you are limited in what you can do. One of those things is you can't go out. Right?
I agree. I totally agree with you. You push a pram to the cafe
and
that's
what?
It.
Like, if I was in a cinema and there was a baby crying in that cinema, I would lose my shit.
Same. I lose my shit when someone's crackling
the Smiths crisps, mate. But this is the issue with society in general now, is that no one gives a fuck about anyone else. She only thought of one person when she took that baby into that fucking show. Herself.
It was her. Right? Yep. Did I tell you about when I went to Jim Jefferies here? Have I told you this story on the podcast? We went to Jim Jefferies, me and my wife's cousin Alex, and We get there just as the previous act's finishing, so we're fucking pumped. And then Jim Jeffries comes on. We're listening away. It's, you know, you got to listen. And then there were two seats behind us empty. And then about 20 minutes in, these two drunk women come and sit there and start talking. Now, I took a deep breath, and they talked for about 2 minutes, and then they went back up. I thought, okay, that's great. Okay. 5 minutes later, they come back down and start talking again. I turned around to them and said, if you want to fucking talk, fuck off out the back again. Yeah. I turned around and said it to them. They were totally silent for the rest of the time. I could not. I was just trying to listen to a comedian make his jokes, right? Mate, I was so pissed off. Alex turned to me and goes, God, thank God you did it.
Mate, and the thing is that I've done it on countless times at the cinema when people are behind me or talking, or I've got a mate that will scream at the top of his voice if there's anyone talking in the cinema. They could be 20 rows away, and he'll yell out, shut the fuck up. Right? And awesome. I just like, awesome. if you go into a group situation, you've got to respect the group. And this is the problem 100%. With society now, is that no one gives a fuck about anyone but themselves. And this woman, I don't want to make a big deal of it, but I'm going to go on every single fucking news station. I saw that Arj Barker got up two nights later and said, I'm sorry, guys, but the guy over here in row 7, I can hear your stomach grumbling. Can you shut the fuck up?
I've done it in a restaurant, right? So basically, I was me and my wife were with two friends, and we're being loud and having a laugh and running. We're on Ponsonby Road, right? And the people behind it turned around and said, oh, do you mind keeping it down a bit? And I said, yeah, I do. Fuck off. We're in a restaurant on Ponsonby Road.
Yeah. but it's like
get fucked. Yeah.
And the fact that, like, they entered, the people interviewing her, the journalists, are on her side? Or trying to grow a set of fucking balls and don't entertain it.
Yeah.
It's only an issue because some cunts decided to make it an issue. Keep your big fat areolas dripping of milk at home with your baby.
See, I don't mind if they go to a cafe and
no dramas.
Breastfeed the baby at the cafe with a little towel over it.
I've got no problems.
That doesn't bother me.
I've got no problems with breastfeeding. I've got no dramas with women breastfeeding their children. None at all. Do it all you want. I've got no problems with that. Do not bring your fucking child to a 50. The baby is not of age. There's no 12-year-old kids in the fucking audience. So why should there be a 12-week-old kid? Anyway.
Talking of standards, what do you think about this Jackson
I've got him in the rugby league. So,
well, let's get into my other one. Yeah, I can leave for later.
So this is the kid last year that blew up, was it last year or the start of this year? End of last year.
It was
year,
the end of last
blew
year.
Blew up about being punished for being late to training by having to wrestle.
Yes.
Between 30 and 35 members of the Bulldog squad, right? It was in a session in July. It was in July last year.
After a session. So, yep.
He's now suing for $4 million, right?
Yes.
Suing the Bulldogs. So he alleges he suffered psychiatric injury, deprivation of liberty, humiliation, indignity, physical exhaustion, physical discomfort, anxiety, embarrassment, and fear during the training session, and has since claimed in his lawsuit that he suffers ongoing incapacity to play. Do you know why there's an incapacity to play? Because no team would fucking sign him. Right?
That's exactly now, right, mate.
He's saying that he had an NRL career ahead of him, potential to earn $400,000, hence the $4 million lawsuit, right? Now, This is a fucking joke, right? Whilst I may not completely agree that wrestling 30 to 35 people is the right punishment, right?
Unless it's in stripes.
Because it's now come. Now, this Manly are under the fucking microscope because of this kid that died after a training session that they had. Now, I hate to quote NRL 360 and I hate to quote Brayton Astor, but he said that this happens all the time. And the fact that the reason that he had to wrestle is because the training session was a wrestling training session. If it was a running training session, there would have been things he would have had to do running as a punishment, right?
Yes, running.
You know what? Yeah. Turn up on time, mate. You're a professional footballer. Turn up training on time. This never happens, right? Now, whilst it may be excessive, what's not being said is how long the wrestles went for. If I'm him, I'm quitting. I'm just letting them pin me.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
Fuck a duck.
Exactly. It's now, elite sport, mate. This isn't kids in the playground.
This guy's
been
paid to do this.
The top level sport.
I'll tell you what, his missus is a great sort, right?
Do you know what? I thought he was not a bad player when he came on. When he played a few first, I thought this guy's got something about him, right? Because he's Australian New South Wales schoolboy captain. And I thought, I wondered what happened to him because I didn't know about this until it came out just before. I knew something had happened, but I didn't know who it was. I thought it might have been Fatale Mariner.
This is going to be, there's 17 NRL clubs or 16 other NRL clubs that are watching this very closely.
Mate, there goes boot camp. Because they're not going to do boot camp.
This should just be dismissed.
Absolutely. Yeah. The NRL should get involved
go away. Do I agree that do I agree with hazing or like this form of punishment? Probably not. Probably.
You're my boy, Blue.
Yeah, probably
You're my
not.
Boy, Blue.
But I don't disagree with it either. I think there's a fine line. I think that this may have been excessive. The thing is that 4 days before, who knows whether it didn't happen to someone else? He would have known when he turned up late that he was going to get something. And you're embarrassed. Yeah. Fuck, what for? What are you embarrassed about? Should be embarrassed to turn up late. You're a professional footballer.
You got embarrassed because you misread your fucking schedule.
Fuck. I'm sorry, guys. Seriously. Yeah, I know. I'm going to get flogged.
I'm with you. I'm not, if it's hazing at like a private school or something like that, that's just fucking, that is bullying, right? This is a completely different example for me. Completely different example. Now, does that mean that all that's going to happen in the future is that people get fined for being late? Well, maybe it is. I don't know. But, I mean, seriously, just let them wrestle you, mate.
Just
get on with it. It's happened to... It's elite sport. It just shows you weren't mentally tough enough.
Yeah.
Really? And do you think anyone wants to play next to you in a finals game when you might lay down like that rower?
Exactly right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. And don't get me wrong, there is that fucking testosterone, vibe in any footy team or any footy club, et cetera, but I don't think this, to me, doesn't seem excessive. I don't know. It just doesn't seem excessive to me. If they've made him do 1,000 push-ups after a wrestling session, that's probably excessive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But where is that line? Because it's funny, I watched NL360 as well, and Benny Elias and Jeff Toovey were actually like, well... Times have changed. This could be a land, they could win and, that'll change it forever. And you've got to protect your players in the workplace. Yes, to a point, but this is a sporting organisation.
Like, there needs to be discipline.
Not a company.
It's complete. This is
my
life.
Absolutely. Why do you think Bulldogs are playing like they are now? Why? It's because they've got fucking discipline now and know what the standards are.
Just fucking chill out, all right? Chill out.
Should have won three others.
Who are they playing this week?
And we'll beat West Tigers. Well, we've already won.
Done.
We've got a bye. West Tigers, then St. George. So we could be going okay. Anyway, don't get me wrong. We've got a long way to go. But last year, if we'd played all these games, we probably would have even won three of them.
Yeah,
we would have probably won one of them.
We're both agreeants on this one. Yeah.
Yeah. But the only reason we're there now is because the past five or six seasons we've been as soft as shit. So now you're going to take that away from sport. How are they? I just don't know. The line is so subjective that lawyers and a judge can't work it out. Because I wouldn't be able to run as fast over 1,500 metres as a rugby league yep. player, right? So does that mean they? So that means I've got to push harder to get where they're at. That's what sport and exercise is.
No.
I don't get it. This is going to be this. This could, if they don't dismiss this, this will have reverberations around the world.
This happened in the NFL where they sort of the 2-a-days, right? So they would train twice a day. They would smash okay. each other. It would be full on. And now, essentially, what's happened is at yep. the start, the first 4 or 5 weeks of the NFL season are preseason because they don't get to train properly, right? Yeah, so they don't train anywhere near as hard as what they used to. They used to train 2-a-days. They used to train all this stuff where it was full on, like destroying people.
This is already done
for the last 5 years, 6, 7 years. It's been they've had a very limited preseason, and I think that it might also have sort of come around the same time as the CTE thing. Obviously, because they're smashing each other, like they don't, they're not policed in their off season about in their training about concussions and stuff. So, mate, I'm telling you, it should be dismissed whether it is or not. If he gets paid 1 cent, it's fucking it's wrong. Yeah,
absolutely. Apparently, he went back to training the next day,
and apparently, his manager was shopping around a week before to other clubs, so he wasn't happy there. So, this is all seen to be like. Yeah. His manager's Tyron Smith.
Far out.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The ex-Canberra Newcastle player.
Yeah.
Going to player agent. Anyway. Interesting. Interesting.
We've got to cut it short. I've got to go. I've got to go and...
Oh.
Been good. Good to have you back. How's your headache?
Mate, it's good to be back. Yeah. I did have some Nurofen before we started, so
I'll take
probably
it.
A combination of your dulcet tones
and
the Nurofen. Yeah,
mate, good to see your face.
Awesome,
and
awesome. You too, matey. You too, and sorry, listeners, about the hiatus. I know a lot of you were wondering and text me. And we are
at some
doing
stage. Yeah, we'll
at some stage. I don't know when that is.
We'll get there.
Don't hold
your
breath.
Do
you want me to? I know we've asked you,
mate. You do it.
Do you want me
account.
To do it?
Move on. Yeah.
Facebook. Can I just do it on Facebook? Is that what you do it on? How should I take a photo of us now?
How do I do it?
Right. I don't even know how to take a photo.
It's been good, people. We'll see you next week. We promise we'll be here. Bye for now.